Welcome to church this morning. It is good to see you here. Thank you for coming to worship, and thank you, worship band, for leading us this morning in an incredible time of worship. Saw Pastor Bill this morning, and he confused me a little bit, which apparently isn't very hard to do, but you don't have to laugh so hard, Steve. But so he asked me, he said, "So you're making coffee this morning?" I'm like, "No, they did that there." And he said, "Well, you're going through Hebrews." And so, yes, we're going to make a little coffee this morning. And for a few weeks, we're going to do some coffee talk, which is, that's perfect. It fits me well. Yeah, we're looking, this week we are starting a new series, and we're looking at the book of Hebrews. And one of the themes, I think one of the overarching themes of Hebrews is that Jesus is greater, and that's what we're looking at. Jesus is greater than, and there's so many things as we go through that we will see and realize that Jesus is greater than all of these things. And of course, we're taking a very quick trip over top, and we're just getting a snapshot, but and there's so much more. And so for the next 5 weeks, get into the book of Hebrews. Make this the book that you peruse and that you read and you meditate on for the next 5 weeks as we walk through Hebrews very quickly. The author of Hebrews, of course, is unknown. There are some speculation, but we can't come to a really good conclusion that, yes, it was this person, and it's not even clear exactly who it was written to, although it was written to a group of churches, probably predominantly Jewish people, mostly believers. And the author was writing this book of Hebrews to a people out of a great concern that he had for these people. And his concern was that they were, these believers, or mostly believers, that they were drifting away from Jesus. And so he's addressing, or either drifting or in danger of drifting away from Jesus. And so that's what the author is addressing here. And so he wants to remind them that how Jesus is greater in absolutely every way than anything that comes along, that anything that comes along in their life, any of the obstacles, any of the hardships, any of those things, Jesus is greater. That's the theme, that's what we're looking at. Jesus is greater. And he's addressing these people who, you know, and most of them, that after their initial conversion experience, things went well, and they were rejoicing, they were celebrating, and maybe you know what it's like. There's this incredible joy, this incredible happiness, this incredible spiritual high, if you want to use that terminology, and it's like you're singing Jesus loves me all the time, or whatever, you know, Kumbaya, whatever the song is that you sing when there's rejoicing going on. There's this incredible love for others, this incredible desire to serve others, because it's so fresh in your mind what Jesus has done for you in your life, and so you're rejoicing. And that's how this church started off. But then life got tough. Life got challenging. There were some things in life that got very real very quickly. They began to face opposition. They began to face persecution. Friends and family began to leave the church. They saw their loved ones going through difficult things, through difficult challenges. And so this is what concerned the author of Hebrews, and that's why he's writing this letter, this sermon, to this group of people. And maybe they had some misconceptions about what it looked like to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe they believed that following Jesus wasn't supposed to be this hard. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you had this amazing moment when you received this free gift of salvation and Christ came into your life. And at first, it was amazing. You were the one leading the Jesus loves me. You were the one leading the Kumbaya, whatever that song of joy that comes into your heart is. You're about loving others, serving others, giving generously. And maybe now you find yourself drifting away, facing things that you thought you wouldn't have to deal with after becoming a follower of Jesus. If this is you, then this series is for you. If you're not struggling right now, if you're not in that place where you're drifting, but your relationship is good, you're rejoicing in the fellowship and love and family of Jesus, in that relationship you're growing, then this message is for you, because it's a time of thanksgiving and worship and reflection of what God has done for you. And it's also a reminder that Jesus is greater when hard times do come, because they will come. And so it's a huge reminder to those of us who are doing well spiritually at this point. And this series is for you if you don't yet know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're struggling to find hope. Maybe you're struggling to find purpose in life. Then this message is for you, because it is filled with hope. As we see, we will see that Jesus is greater than anything and everything. The message of Hebrews is this: don't give up. Jesus is greater. He's the greater hope. So go all in. What does it mean to go all in? Good question. Surrender, complete surrender. Don't try to hover on the gray lines of either side, but be all in with Jesus, that you surrender every area, every part and portion of your life, and you will understand and you will know that Jesus is greater when you go all in. And that's what the Hebrews wants these people to do as well. That's why he's sharing this message with them. That's why we're sharing this message with all of us. Because Jesus is greater. He's worth going all in. Let's pray before we get into this sermon. Oh, Lord God, thank you, Jesus, that you will teach us, you will show us that you are greater than all of the things of this world around us. You are greater far than anything that the world has to offer. And Father, as we look at the greatness of who you are and your glory, oh God, that we would be transformed. Our lives would be transformed, that we wouldn't be prone to drifting, but that we would be falling deeper in love with you. God, teach us, as you are greater, teach us through your Holy Spirit this morning. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm just going to read verses 1 to 4 now, and we are going to just kind of cruise over the top, and so we're not going to read every verse in the chapter, but we're going to bring out some things that highlight. And so I'm going to bring out a few scriptures in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, and then we'll go through some of those verses and what they mean to us. Hebrews chapter 1, 1 to 4, reading it in the NASB. So God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Powerful, powerful words. And so as we're going over them, take the time during this week to read chapter 1, 2, and then go to 3 and 4, as Pastor Dan will be looking at chapter 3 and 4, I believe, next week. So chapter 1 and 2 begin by establishing Jesus as greater. In verse 1, it says this: God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets in many portions and in many ways. So think of the Old Testament. As you look back into the Old Testament, how many different ways that God spoke to the people in the Old Testament? He spoke through dreams and visions, through audible voices, through angels, an angel of the Lord. He spoke through a burning bush. He wrote on the wall. And so he's speaking in so many different ways. And I'm just mentioning a few of the ways that God spoke to people in the past. And that's what he's saying in this verse. He's saying that God spoke to our fathers in the past. You know, a long time ago, he spoke to them this way. Now he makes this contrast. There's a change that's happening in verse 2. He's contrasting how God spoke long ago to how he's speaking in these last days. Previously, a long time ago, God spoke through prophets. They had been given the word of God through various ways. Now, in the age that they live in, so what is the, you know, what does the end mean? It's the language there is can be, you know, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the end times? No, he's talking about the days that they're living in now, that they were living in, the present age, from now till the future. Now in the age they live in, these last days, since Christ's time on earth, his death, burial, and resurrection until he comes again, Jesus is the final word. That's what he's saying. That was the word in the Old Testament for their time. Now the time has changed. Jesus is the word. He is the greater word. He is the perfect visible form of the message of the Father. The prophets were pointing people to a promised Messiah, a promised redeemer, a promised rescuer. That's what the prophets were pointing to. That's what they prophesied about, pointing to this Jesus that would come and rescue all of mankind from their sinful condition. And Jesus, he is that rescuer. All of their prophecies pointed to Jesus. What God said through Jesus clarified the purpose of the words spoken by the fathers, by to the fathers by the prophets. Jesus is greater because he is the fulfillment of that prophetic message. In fact, he is the message. He is the greater word. And not only is he the greater word, so Jesus is greater as he is the word, and it goes on to take it to another level. Why is he greater? Well, he is the very message. He is the very word. And secondly, he is the heir of all things. He is the greater word. He is the heir of all things. In verse 2, towards the end, it says this. First of all, he says, in the last days, God has spoken to us, to his son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Now, these people would have known the Old Testament. They would have known the Torah very well, the first five books of the Bible. They knew it very well. And so they knew their fathers very well, the history of their fathers very well. They would have known about Abraham. And so back in Genesis 17, verse 5, God changes Abram's name to Abraham. He's one of the great fathers. And God tells him, you will be the father of a multitude of nations. So these people, they already respected and thought that Abraham was great. He was a great father. Now, what the author is trying to tell these Jewish people who know the Old Testament, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible very well, what the author is telling them is, yes, Abraham was great, but Jesus is greater. Why? Because not only Abraham was simply, the father of many nations, a multitude of nations, lots of nations, but Jesus, in this verse, says, is that he is the heir of everything. Go towards the end of that. Verse 2. Not only is the heir, he's the word, he's the heir. Not only is he the word and the heir, it says that through whom he created the whole earth. Jesus is the greater word. He is the greater heir of all things, creator of all things, including the prophets. So he is the creator. He is greater because he is the creator. He is greater because he is the creator. The prophets prophesied about the greater. And Jesus, he quite literally is the creator of those prophets who are speaking about him. Jesus is greater. Verse 3, going on to verse 3. And he is, again, we're getting this picture of he is greater. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. One commentator put it this way: Jesus is God's glory. Therefore, we see with amazing clarity that the glory of God consists not in crushing men, and reducing them to abject servitude, but in serving them and loving them, and in the end, dying for them. Now listen to this closely. It is not the glory of shattering power, but the glory of suffering love. That's how this commentator concludes this statement. It is not the glory of shattering power, but the glory of suffering love. Radiating the very image of God. He is the exact image. Radiating the very glory of who he is. The radiance of Jesus on the cross illuminated how bad sin is. It illuminated this glory, radiated how bad our disobedience is, how horrific sin is before a holy God. It illuminates that for mankind. What did sin demand? Sin demanded death. Sin demanded a condemnation, an eternity in hell, separated from God forever. And the glory, the radiance that Jesus illuminates, that he illuminates, especially when he went to the cross and his death through his death, burial, and resurrection, illuminates the depth of his love as he went to the cross for you and I, for mankind, for all those who believe. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says this, he made him who knew no sin. So this is what Jesus did on the cross. This is what he had to do on the cross to bring the redemptive story into fruition. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What does that mean? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we, simply it means that we might become right with God. And Jesus is the exact radiation. He's illuminating that through the cross. And then when he's hanging on the cross, just before he dies, he makes this statement. He says, it is finished. And Jesus did it all. And then he sat down beside the Father. Jesus is greater. When you look at what the world has to offer around you in the situation that you're walking through, in the situation that you're going through, and you want to place your trust in something else, what you're going to do is you're going to put your trust and faith in something that is fleeting, that is passing, that will rust, that will somehow be dissolved at some point. But Jesus is greater because he provided a greater way. He provided a perfect way. So why do we want to be all in with Jesus? Why do we want to surrender every area and every aspect of our life and stop living half-heartedly for the Lord? Why do we want to be all in? Because Jesus is greater. He's the greater word. He's the greater heir. And complete. He's the great and complete sacrifice for sin. See, as we look in the Old Testament did one thing. The Old Testament sacrifices, they did one thing, and that is they covered the sin. They didn't take it away, they just covered it. And that's why they pointed to the Messiah. Yes, this sacrifice is covering that sin. But when Jesus comes, he's not going to cover it, he's going to remove it. Jesus is greater. He's greater than that Old Testament sacrifice. Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, and Christ's sacrifice appeased God's wrath towards sin. Mankind, we have a choice. Receive and be completely covered by the payment of Jesus, or reject Jesus and be left in the open, exposed to face God's wrath. See, God dealt with sin completely. That payment took away our need to make payment. It didn't cover it. Considering this, considering all these things, if we briefly just cruise through this, and we didn't even talk about Jesus is greater than the angels. We didn't even talk about that, but you can look at that. But considering this, that what we've heard, how Jesus is greater, go to Hebrews 2 verse 1. Now the author is speaking to the people again, and he's saying, considering all that you've read and heard in chapter 1, and considering this message that I've given you, he's saying this. we must pay closer attention to what we have heard. So pay close attention to what you've just heard so that we do not drift away from it. See, they were prone to drifting away. There was a problem that was happening. The author knows how prone to drifting this audience was, because ultimately they were living in a fallen world where people are bombarded with temptation from the world. We deal with the world, the sin that still lives in our flesh. We still deal with Satan and his army and his angels. We are still bombarded with all of these temptations. And the author knows that Jesus is greater far than any of those temptations, or even the temptation to think that or place your faith in anything that the world has to offer. The author couldn't tell his Jewish audience that all is going to go well in life. Receive Jesus, become a follower of Jesus, and all will go well from you. He couldn't say that. He couldn't say that all of your life is going to be filled with joy and happiness, and you're going to be smiling all the time. You will never experience pain, suffering, and heartache. You will never experience that. He didn't say that. He couldn't say that. But what he did say is this: that Christ is greater than anything the world has to offer that you're wanting to put in place to take that pain away, to deal with that suffering. Jesus is greater than that. What does the author have to say? Man, look around in our world today. The world is teaching us the very same thing. Put your faith in this, this, and this. But you know what? We put our faith in this one thing, and in no time at all, that thing seems to be pointless. We're back in the same place. It doesn't remove our hurt. It doesn't remove our heartache. It doesn't take away that sin that we're dealing with. Everything that the world has to offer is temporary. It's incomplete. And Jesus is greater. So consider, he's telling his audience, consider what you've just heard, that Jesus is greater. And I'm asking you, consider what you've just heard, that Jesus is greater. Now, there's many other things. The only other thing I'm going to address that Jesus is greater is when I've gone through hardship, when I've gone through struggles, when I've gone through hurt, pain, whatever it is that I go through in life, one of the things that can bring me some comfort is talking with someone who has shared in those same experiences. They've gone through what I've gone through. They can relate. We like it when people can relate to us. Often you hear people say, well, no one can relate to my hurt, my suffering, what I'm going through. No one can relate. If somebody were to able to relate to me, I think I would be able to have some help to be able to walk through this. Maybe I could make some sense of this and help me in this life. Jesus is that person. Jesus is that person. Jesus is greater because he has experienced everything that we've experienced. He has gone through what we've experienced. No, and you're thinking in your mind, I know I've been there, but he hasn't experienced this kind of temptation. He hasn't experienced this kind of anger. He hasn't experienced this kind of betrayal. Oh, please, don't even say that. Please don't say that. Jesus has experienced everything that you and I will ever go through, and he was without sin. That's the incredible thing. Jesus is greater. You want someone who can relate to you? Jesus is greater. Let's go to the end of Hebrews 2, verses 14 to 17. This is when you're struggling to make sense of things, and you want somebody who knows what you're going through, go to this passage in Scripture. Don't base it on feeling. Feelings change, our moods change drastically, often. But the Word of God, the truth of God's Word is unchanging. Listen to this. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, that's you and I, flesh, got some blood in here. I'm not going to show you that, hopefully, unless I fall off the stage. Therefore, since the children, people in the family of God, share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death See, look what he's willing to do for you and I. This is the greater, that through death he might render powerless him who made the power of death, that is the devil. The devil, Satan, had power over mankind. I mean, if you're unsaved, often we buy into this lie that I want to be free, I don't want to be tied down to Jesus. Well, if you're not tied down to Jesus, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus and in freedom, in fact, in living in freedom in Jesus, you are under the authority and rule of Satan. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Who's your master? You have two masters, one of two masters. Those are only two choices. Satan had power over us. He ruled us completely till Jesus went to the cross. And Jesus took on flesh. He became a person. Like he came out of the birth canal. Doesn't that make it real for you? Born a baby. Crying like crazy. And he did it to be obedient to his Father. And when he pursues us for a relationship, when he comes to us and shows us our sinfulness, you see, that's what the cross illuminates. Jesus on the cross illuminates that for us, our sinfulness. And when he reveals that to us and we recognize that in and of ourselves we are incapable of doing anything about our sinful condition, he gives us this free gift. Here it is. Here it is. You can't do it. I've done it. You can't do it. I've done it already. It's available to every man, woman, and child. And then verse 15, he goes on to say, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. See, there's that slavery. You're a slave to Satan or a slave to Jesus. A slave to somebody who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, or a slave to Jesus who has come to give you life and come to give you abundant life when you are all in. Then verse 16 says, for assuredly he does not give help to his angels, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things so that, catch this, so that he might become merciful, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make propitiation. What is that? Well, to take away the anger that was towards us from God because the penalty was already paid. The penalty was already paid. For the sins, for my sins. As a follower of Jesus, God will not punish you for your sins because he already punished Jesus for his sins. And then he said, it is finished. All that you and I get now is love and acceptance. Yeah. But that does include discipline. But we no longer stand condemned. He does allow us to walk through difficult situations and circumstances. He's not going to take those away or remove those things from us because he has a desire. His desire is to press us, to mold us, to make us into the people that he desires, into the man or woman or child that God wants you to be. That's why he allows us to go through suffering, through sickness, through these challenges, through the sin, fallen, cursed world that we live in. But we don't stand condemned. Jesus already dealt with our sin. Jesus is greater. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Powerful, powerful truth. But we still deal with those consequences. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. When is the now? Now? Now is, as a follower of Jesus, when you become a follower of Jesus, that's the now of no condemnation. You are not being condemned by what you are going through. God is using that situation to shape us. And he knows that this life is not going to be all easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Like, that's not what it's about. He knows that. But he is the greater because he walks with us in his suffering, because he has suffered as we have, and he knows what it is to suffer like that. Verse 18 says, "For since he himself was tempted in that which he had suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." Like, just, this is the greater Jesus. Jesus knows how to comfort you and I when we're hurting and lonely. Jesus knows what it's like to be treated unfairly. He knows what it's like to be beaten, to be persecuted, to be put in jail unfairly. He knows what it's like to be tempted by the things of this world, by the temptations that grab at us, the riches, the fame, all of those things. He knows what that is like. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be hungry and thirsty. He knows what it's like to weep and to pray because the journey is hard. He knows what it's like to weep beside the lost loved one that who has passed on. He knows what that's like. He knows what it's like to be betrayed, abandoned by family members and friends. He knows what it's like to come from a family that's very insignificant, who's poor and doesn't have a name and doesn't have wealth, doesn't have influence. He knows what that's like. He knows what it's like to go through ministry and struggle in ministry, and the results aren't astounding, that thousands and thousands came to Jesus. He knows what it's like. You can see that in Matthew 23:37. Knowing that he knows what you go through is such a comfort. He has seen your struggle firsthand. Now, we're not much different from this group of people that Hebrews has been addressing. We too have the tendency to miss the greater, to miss what is greater and better, while we cling on to, grasp on to the things of this world, the lesser. We have a tendency to grab for the lesser instead of the greater when we go through hardship. We too are bombarded and seduced by the world around us with temporary blessings. We're seduced with riches and the joys of what that can bring, as if somehow they are greater. We're seduced by the idea of newer, bigger, and better. Because if you keep changing from the next to the next to the next, you feel like you're being fulfilled. But you're not. There's always a need for the next and the next and the next. We're grabbing on to the lesser that is so unsatisfying, unfulfilling. When Jesus is right there, the greater is right there. We somehow are seduced by the idea that ease and comfort is the best thing that can happen to us in life. That popularity on social media is somehow going to instill in us this incredible feeling of popularity and people like us. We're seduced by having a great circle of friends that we maybe even don't know very well. Maybe it's wealth or big homes, fancy vehicles, exotic vacations every year, a large bank account. But these are all temporary pleasures. But the world is bombarding us with these pleasures. And the author in Acts is saying, don't drift away, because these things are coming into your view. Cling to Jesus because he is greater. Go all in. Everything else is temporary. Don't be seduced by it. And in fact, we may be, in this life, we may be called to sacrifice a lot of those things that the world is offering and saying, these are a must. If you don't have these, you're no one. We're being fed lies And we may be called to sacrifice all these things in order to follow the greater Jesus when we are willing to go all in. At every turn, the Christian should be able to resound with joy that Jesus is greater, even in the hardship, even in the challenge. So I want to ask you a couple of questions to wrap up today. Where are you at in the grand scheme of all of this that we've heard? Where are you at today? Are you drifting away from Jesus? You know, I used to really hate when a pastor would ask these questions. Where are you at today? Are you drifting from Jesus? 90% of the time when I was younger, prior to 26, when I surrendered to Jesus prior to that, man, I hated that question because I was always, well, drifting isn't even the right word. I had drifted, man. I was gone. I hated that question, but where are you at today? Are you drifting from Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? You were excited in getting to know Jesus. You were excited at one time, maybe, and you saw him working and doing great things, and then suddenly tough times came along. Maybe friends abandoned you. Maybe other followers of Jesus disappointed you. Maybe you saw hypocrites in every corner of the church or every place that you went to. The professing Christians were hypocrites, and maybe now you have drifted away because you don't want any part of that. Maybe you thought that you would have someone to spend the rest of your life with, and that hasn't happened as you had planned. Maybe you did find someone that you thought would even take some of the temptations of lust and sinfulness away, but you still struggle, and now you're in a marriage that isn't thriving, and in fact, it's barely surviving. It might be that you're struggling with temptation and not walking in victory with something. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's money. The temptations keep coming your way. Things of this world are drawing you in, getting more appealing, not less appealing. The things of this world aren't growing strangely dim for you. Maybe that's where you are at today. Maybe you feel that everything and everyone is against you. You're lonely. You thought the church community would be the one one place that you could feel like family. Maybe it's poor health, the loss of a loved one. The bottom line is you're struggling to go deeper with Jesus. You're drifting away because of these things are coming up in your life and you're not sure what to hang on to. Don't drift away from Jesus is what this scripture is teaching. Jesus is greater than anything this broken world has to offer in any one of those situations. Greater than all your disappointments. Because we can't do for ourselves what Jesus did for us. We are accepted because of Jesus. We have a new hope, a new future. What is your story? Where are you at? Jesus is greater. Fix your eyes on him. Let's pray. God, we're all in different places in our journey. And Father, today, if there are those that don't yet know you, but they're struggling and feeling hopeless, helpless, God, and I pray that they today would receive your free gift of salvation. Pray that your Holy Spirit would illuminate that cross and their sinfulness, and that they would recognize that they need to come to Jesus today. Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. All that I am, all that I have is yours. I want to be all in Jesus. I am a sinner. And Jesus, your blood is the only thing that can save me. Amen. Jesus, if maybe today, if you are a follower of Jesus and you've drifted away, Father, I pray for those who are drifting or have drifted away that you would draw them into yourself. Pray that they would recognize their need for you. That they would recognize that Jesus, you are greater, and what they're clinging to is so temporary, so invaluable in the grand scheme of eternity. Father, then we pray that they would come to you in humble repentance, surrendering completely to you. And Father, thank you that there are those that are walking and thriving in their relationship with you. Father, I pray that they would continue to walk in that, and this would continue to prepare them for those days when hardship comes, that they would recognize that you are greater. Jesus, you are greater. We worship you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Next week we'll be looking at Jesus' A Greater Rest. Thanks. See you next week.